When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew. Ben, that was high, man, I've got to say.
I thought I was quite high. Yeah. But then you were really high.
I don't know, guys. I feel like I had to hit that, you know, A over high C and from Minnie Riperton's Loving You there to...
I'm disappointed you didn't give that an attempt.
I'm going to... I tell you what, maybe we could ask that producer Gwyn pitch shift it up.
Well, no, I tell you what, on the cheers everyone by at the end, we'll give it a good go.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's give it a go again now, but on this one... Producer Gwyn, pitch shift my one up as high as you can do it, okay? Here we go. All right, here we go.
Hey, everyone, I'm Tom.
And I'm Ben.
We'll see how that goes. And welcome, of course, to another episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. This is, of course,
let me tell you something. These cuts don't come much colder.
Oh, my God. They're ice cold, which is nothing better than some ice cold cuts on in the middle of a heat wave.
Absolutely.
Which is what we're going through right now. Oh.
Get those nice cold beef cubes out of the out of the freezer.
Pop them under your extremities.
I just sizzle for 30 minutes.
Just sizzle away. Before we get cracking, I've got to tell you this. I got a
Too
message.
Late, we're already crackling.
We're absolutely crackling, aren't we? I got a message from Lee, front names only. Lee got in touch to say, I'm a few episodes behind on your podcast, but I have a living actor tattooed on me. I've just realised I have two.
Wow.
And so I said, who do you have? This is over Facebook. Very rare that people communicate via Facebook, but I'm always happy. The DMs are always open.
They're always there.
And they said, I've got Fox Mulder and Jack Torrance. And my God, they do. I'm going to see if I can send these to you now.
Okay. I mean, bold choices, right?
Bold choices, yeah. So we've got David Duchovny, but crucially as Fox Mulder.
Oh, wow. But it's like a caricature.
It's a caricature of Fox Mulder. Lee's got a caricature of Fox Mulder. I'm guessing that's the arm, I think. It's quite a close-up. But so it's either arm or leg, and it's Fox Mulder in a flying saucer, sort of popping out of a sort of Marvin the Martian-style flying saucer. And so that's pretty good. And then the Jack Torrance one... is something else.
I like that a lot, actually.
I really like it. So it's the Jack as we know from The Shining, but instead of a face, it's the carpet.
It's the iconic carpet.
It's the iconic carpet from the halls in The Shining. So Parry, living actors, you said, you can never get living actors because it might be a problem. How do you feel about these? Where does this leave you?
This, to me, feels like a slightly different thing.
Okay.
Because that second one in particular, the Shining one, doesn't feel like that feels like a piece of art of, you know, it's a very conceptual thing. Like, you don't really...
It's more carpet than man.
It's more carpet than man. And the Mulder one is it's a caricature, isn't it? It's kind of
your classic
cartoon caricature, really large head and little small body doing the thing that it's famous for doing. So they don't quite, you know, but...
Go on, finish the sentence. They don't quite what?
Well, they don't quite fit my kind of idea of portrait of a living actor.
Yes. Sure, I get that. Yeah, sure.
I will also say, you know, like bold choices because... they're not safe bets, these guys.
No,
no. Duchovny's had his.
They're a couple of rogues, I would say. A couple of Hollywood rogues.
Duchovny's had his battles with various things, and obviously Nicholson, I think.
Well, Nicholson, aliens. And Nicholson famously chased his wife up a staircase with an axe. And then, obviously his son did very badly out of it in that poor hedge maze. So he's got, they've both got their stories.
I imagine Lee has his stories as well, because I think someone who chooses to go with those, on their body, I'd definitely want to have a chat with that guy. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? Get on Facebook, because I've been having a chat with Lee on and off since 2013, apparently. 2013, any chance of Last Show Ever coming out on DVD? And I said, yes, there are plans to film it in the autumn. Well, that didn't come to pass, did it?
Did not.
And then he said, favourite show of last year and the best thing at MacFest this year in 2013, later on in the year. And then he said, really enjoyed Bad Odds last night in 2014. And then a stony radio silence from him until 2020 when he came back with his messages about the tattoos. But you know what, Lee? Now we're back in contact. Don't be a stranger. My DMs, as I say, are always open. Even if it's another couple of years, I just want to check you're all right. Just touch base with me, Lee. That's all I need to know. Just need to know. You're a good man. You loved Last Show Ever. You love Bad Alts. Hey, you love X-Files. You love The Shining. You know what? You're all right by
great
me.
Great taste.
You've got great taste. If you ever want to get a caricature of the three of us on your torso, we'll pose for it, man. We're here for you.
Yes, please.
We're absolutely here for you.
Right, well, speaking of great taste, let's get into today's ep, shall we?
Yes, indeed. It's a wonderful guest, Ken Cheng. Brilliant, brilliant comedian. I think he's absolutely superb. We loved having him on the show. And there are some really good beefs today. So I think you're going to enjoy yourselves. Enjoy it. Here's the show.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Here we go.
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi, mate. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How do you feel about oi, oi as a greeting?
Oi, oi. I think it is good to kind of put some energy into the forthcoming conversation.
Yeah. I'll do it every so often. If I feel it flagging, I'll just interject with another oi, oi.
It's cold, oh, no. I don't want that sort of Damocles hanging over my head. I feel like I don't want to be halfway through an anecdote and just hear an oi oi. You know,
well, you better keep them peppy then, Crosby.
Keep them short, keep them punchy. That's the secret. Ken, welcome to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. So, Ken, what kind of a flatmate are you? What's your living arrangement? Are you a flatmate?
Yes, I have two flatmates. I'm the cleanest one of the three.
Nice.
And that is difficult because I also hate confrontation. I'm really conflict averse, so I never bring it up. I just seethe instead.
Have you got is one worse than the other? Is there a favourite flatmate and then the worst one?
In terms of how I feel about them personally, no, I like them both. But in terms of cleanliness, definitely... One is, I'm really worried they'll listen to this now because they both are a bit in comedy. So now this might feel like a really roundabout way to passive aggressively tell them about how I feel about them, which I guess it is now.
That is kind of a service we provide for comedians who live with comedians. Getting to come on the show is a chance to do this and then, hope that it kind of filters back.
Yeah.
Do you want to give? Do you want to give them names? No, no, no. No, I was going to say, do you want to give them names rather than give their actual names?
Yeah.
Who's the one who's kind of fine? Who's the one who's like really, really filthy?
Oh, the one who's really filthy is a guy called Adam.
Great.
Yep.
Okay.
The other one I call Bob for the A and B, the A and B naming system.
Lovely. So we've got Adam, Bob, and Cheng. ABC.
Yep. ABC.
So tell us the worst kind of crimes that Adam has committed in terms of filth around the house.
I think it's mainly an issue with leaving food out.
That'll do it.
like old food, and there's food everywhere, basically. There is food from cooking. There's just little bits of shrapnel everywhere. this one I've been flatmates with for like five years, and we've had four or five different third flatmates rotate in and out.
Right.
So I've kept the duo, and the third flatmate has always rotated out, probably because of the cleanliness issue.
I was going to say, yeah.
You're too clean. They've gone, I can't deal with Ken. It's so anal about the cleaning. Yeah. If any people were more like Adam, a bit more chilled out. Plus, everywhere I look, there's something to eat.
There's some lovely leftovers.
There's some little bits of, you know, little bits of chicken around the back of the sofa.
So
it's great.
You've got a kind of defense against the dark arts teacher kind of role, where like every kind of season you get to bring in a new character to keep the audience interested.
Yes, exactly. they can't keep the third actor in. It's just a terrible cursed spot.
It's like the lead role in Death in Paradise. No one stays for that long.
Yeah.
It's just too bloody hot.
It seems like such a good gig on paper.
It seems like a good gig.
Yeah.
But
you get to live with Ken, you get to live with another guy, but actually, in reality, too hot.
Can't stand the heat.
Can't stand the heat.
Can't stand all the sexual tension.
The problem here was that the third flatmate was always the confrontational one as well. So I was just kind of in the middle of the confrontation. And I would be in this three-way group chat where it would just be constant passive-aggressive from the third flatmate to Adam.
So you're not even doing this face-to-face. You've not even got the cojones to take this into the open arena of a face-to-face conversation. You're living in the same place, and you're chatting over WhatsApp.
Mm. Yeah, well, that was my issue with it, that I'd never said anything in this three-way conversation. I was just kind of watching.
You've not even got the guts to throw an emoji in there.
No,
little
no,
broom sweeping.
I completely ignored it. Now that the current third flatmate actually cares less than anyone has done so far. So now it comes to me to be that person, but I can't do it. So I haven't sent a single message. We're just kind of letting it fester.
Literally.
This is the question. Do you leave it for them to eventually kind of tidy up, or do you sort of stroll around the flat just doing like little piecemeal bits of tidying just to kind of appease your own cleanliness?
Oh, I've been doing more than piecemeal. I've done full cleans.
The full deep clean.
Stuff. Yeah, I've done a deep clean of the flat repeatedly. That's my passive aggression. I'm just doing a full deep clean.
That's your problem, though. I mean, we don't want to solve your beef too early, but that is your the problem is you need to let, you know, and I know it goes against your nature, Ken, but what you've got to do is you've got to let it get to absolute boiling point. You know, hole yourself up in your room. You can dust away in your own personal space as much as you like, but let the outside space, this communal space, get to sort of crisis levels.
I thought you were giving him a recipe to begin with. Let it get to boiling point. Chuck in all the leftover food. Now you're going to leave that simmer for about 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves a leftover broth.
Yeah,
it's Boxing Day every day around at Ken's house.
Yeah.
5 years is a chilling amount of time as well. Like, if you're in a relationship with someone for 5 years, you'd be thinking, you know, stick or twist, or is marriage coming around the corner? You've shared your life with this person for 5 years. Yeah. That's a stretch.
Yeah,
that
and
is
you're
a stretch.
And you're a young man, you know. 5 years is quite a big chunk of the amount of time you've been on this planet.
Yeah, that's like a third of your life.
I've wasted my life. Yeah. I've wasted my life. That is the realization I'm coming to.
Anyway, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much, Ken. This has been a real joy.
From the sorting out your pee.
Right, well, let's move away from your wasted life and onto the wasted life of our listeners. Ken, do you want to start with the one that you that was sent in to you?
Yes, I'd love to. So this is it Hina?
Hina.
Sunbathing neighbor beef from right. Hina. Here we go. Hi, beef brothers and guests. I have neighbors who have a penchant for sunbathing in their back garden whenever the temperature exceeds 20 degrees. I am all for any individual doing whatever they like in their own back garden, brackets within the confines of the law, of course.
That's crucial.
But the sight of a middle-aged white man with a visible gut who is turning red.
Whoa.
As a tomato.
Oh, easy.
Hang on a sec. Whoa. Here we go. Well, I've never felt so seen.
You come into my house and you start talking like this?
Okay, go on. What's, all right, you know, we haven't heard the end of the sentence. It could be the sight of a middle-aged white man with a visible gut is a huge turn-on for me.
Yeah,
and I can't.
Especially
get any
if
work
he carries
there.
Himself with confidence.
Yeah, totally. That is a common beef. It's too erotic.
Just too erotic for me.
But the sight of a middle-aged white man with a visible gut who is turning red as a tomato makes me feel like I'm going to be sick in my mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, Hinner. Oh. Hinner, please. Wow.
Come on now.
I also find people who spend their time sunbathing, except on holiday, pretty basic.
Oh.
I know.
A 1-2 sucker punch there from Hinner. This is going to be hard to defend.
Basic and vomit inducing.
2 stars.
The only way I can avoid seeing this from my kitchen is to close the blinds on my window and patio doors, basically by keeping out all sunlight from kitchen. Thank you in advance. Bye, Hinner.
Wow, okay. Wow.
Hinner.
What are we going to do with you?
Well.
I believe a bit of aversion therapy is needed. We're coming round your house. We're whipping our shirts off. It's going to be 3 middle-aged white men and 1 young Chinese man. We're going to come round.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Tops off. You're going to get a gorgeous tan just from the rays bouncing off our bellies. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because firstly, you know, we here at Beef Brothers Cold Cuts say no to any kind of body shaming.
Especially if that body is pretty much exactly describes as.
Exactly.
Don't shame our bodies.
Please.
Shame other people's bodies, but don't shame anybody that resembles ours. And because it starts with Hinner starts very easy breezy, like, listen, I don't care, do whatever you like, I don't mind, but if you take your shirt off, it makes you want to be sick, and if you sunbathe, you're a basic bitch, which it seems like you kind of do care a little bit, but obviously you're our listener, you're our friend, we're going to help you. That's the job of this, as I've been told repeatedly off air chats.
Stop telling our listeners off.
I go too hard on the listeners, and they're the ones who we should be supporting. So I'm going to take a back seat on this one for a bit. And you guys,
oh,
you go this
have is the
lecture.
One. This is the one you're choosing to back out on.
Ken, how do you feel about sunbathing? Are you a sunbathing kind of guy?
I don't personally sunbathe much.
But you sort of outsource it to other people.
Yes, I do it via proxy.
Well, you're too busy indoors cleaning, aren't you? That's the problem.
Yeah, you get kind of a moment. Go and catch some rays. Let daddy clean.
I'm not a sunbather.
Are you not?
No, I don't find it. I need to be doing stuff. I'd much rather burn doing stuff than tan deliberately.
Yeah.
I thought the stuff you were doing was like lighting a bonfire then. Gonna burn stuff.
I'd much rather commit arson with my shirt off on a sunny day.
But I do find it a tedious kind of exercise and a strange goal. Like the goal of like tanning, I find that kind of, it's never been something I understand, but I will defend this neighbour's honour,
okay,
and his right to sunbathe to the hilt. I think what we need to try and think about is creative ways that we can stop. I don't think we're going to change Hinner's. Let's be honest, it's a reflex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Her prejudice is, it's inbuilt. It's a reflex. She's being sick in her own mouth.
I've come up with an idea. I've come up with a solution that I think might work because Hinner says that between them is what have they got, like a patio door and a window.
Yes.
So two panes of glass.
Right.
On one of those panes of glass, right, you get yourself a Ken action doll. Right, not a Ken Chiang action doll. They're not yet available, I believe. I believe the
getting some merch out from this podcast.
in time for Edinburgh, I'm sure. But yeah, so get yourself like a Ken, as in Ken and Barbie, and you affix Ken's clothes to the window in exactly the position.
Nice.
So you can basically, like, it's, you know, everybody loves, like, when you're a kid, don't you love that thing of, you know, like the little cutout cardboard man that you could dress in a variety of different cardboard outfits? It's a lot of fun. You've basically got a human version of that lying in your garden. So every morning when you see that you're, you know, every morning, you know, we're in the middle of a heat wave at the moment, you see it's really hot in the morning, you think, okay, fantastic. I go to my tiny little wardrobe, I pick out a tiny little shirt. What is my neighbour going to be wearing today?
He's going to be wearing today, his I Love Henna shirt.
Exactly.
That's the real issue. She's in love with him. I don't think Hina has asked, what is she really mad at?
Yeah.
You could give him a Hina tattoo. Am I right?
Oh, God. Oi, oi.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You could get the action. You could go full Action Man with him. Because then you could, like, one day you could, like, make him go skiing and like scuba diving and mountain climbing. Mm.
Dress him as a sentry guard. You know, if even better, you know what? Get yourself some of those poster paints that you can paint onto glass and then just sort of scratch off like they use in like butcher's windows. Get yourself that. And every morning you get a little creative project, right? Yeah. It'll set you up for work.
I love this.
Imagine if every morning you did a little miniature painting that was just for you. A little thing that's just for you, a little bit of creativity just for you, and then on with your day. I think it's going to increase your productivity. I think it's going to make you a better worker.
And I tell you what, guys, before you know it, that fat, middle-aged, bald man will have become your muse.
I don't think it's specified that he was. I think you've transplanted yourself into this situation.
That guy from Wolverhampton, I'm sure.
He does say I live in Exeter, so that does make a lot of sense now.
No, but I'm saying he could become her muse, and you know she'll be inspired by him, and maybe as the months roll by, those clothes will become less and less.
Yes, I love that. Until eventually, all you're painting on him is an enigmatic smile, Mona Lisa style.
And a boner, of course.
Wait, is he nude now?
Well, yeah.
That's right. More and more nude.
She's painted off the trunks.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad idea. You could paint the body you want to see over the body.
Yeah, just paint a six-pack on him.
Paint a six-pack on him, yeah.
That paint the plot line to Shallow Hal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is. Yes.
You've got basically a Shallow Hal the situation. Third or fourth time I've said that today. But we slightly glaze over this because this all fits in. Ken, you think there's some sort of affection going on between Hina and the nude man in her garden?
Yeah, because if I saw him, I would just be quite neutral in my response. Yes. So I think it's a kind of overcompensating kind of thing.
Right. So you
That's
think
my
that,
analysis.
You think that every person that you have a sort of visceral response to, even if it's hatred, you think it's probably love.
It's probably slightly based in some kind of unconscious love.
Right. Because I think Parry might have to have a word with himself about the current Tory government. What are you? Come on. We all remember Penny Mordaunt on Splash. Come on, Parry. What are you really hiding? What's that Twitter account truly saying? But it could be. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, obviously the unexamined life is not worth living. Hina, look inside yourself. And if you feel that you're truly in love with this guy, then, you know, maybe make overtures towards them. But if not, then paint
over
nice duffel coat. Paint the nice duffel coat over. I think that's beef sauce.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think we got it.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Chatty partner beef from Anon via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Good afternoon, siblings in beef.
Nice.
Not sure if not sure if my partner will overhear this one, so please speak in a whisper. No, she said, so please keep me anonymous. Okay.
All right.
So
not like Hina, who just will put her name to her fat phobia.
Yeah, Hina's very happy to lay it all out there.
Yeah. Well, her neighbour's so basic he doesn't listen to podcasts. not sure if my partner will overhear this one, so please keep me anonymous. My beef is fairly recent and is the result of a major improvement in my partner's life. He has a new job, better hours, better pay, less stress. The dream.
The dream.
The only downside in the job is that he's no longer able to work from home as I continue to. Here is where the beef lies. Now that he has to leave the house, he has to get up earlier. I'm a light sleeper, so his alarm wakes me. Not a problem. As if it were only this, I would have no beef. The beef is that he's decided that while dressing for work, he wants to talk to me, keeping me from returning to sweet, sweet sleep.
Again, can I just check at this stage? On. Is the question, my partner wants to speak to me?
Get a divorce, beef solved.
You may think this is sweet, and it mostly is, except that he's doing this between 6 and 7 in the morning.
Best part of the day.
I don't have to be working until 8 or sometimes 9, depending on my schedule, so this keeping me awake really lengthens my days. And the longer he keeps me awake, the less likely I am.
Parry's gone.
I was really just picturing being in bed.
Parry,
I've got. It's only 8:45, man. Come on,
My beef is every time I try to have a nice sleep, these guys start doing a podcast with me.
I was really picturing. I was picturing that person tucked up in bed. And it really got to me. The longer he keeps me awake, the less likely I am to get back to sleep. You may suggest going to bed earlier, which would be fine, except that doesn't seem to make a difference to him either. Again, talking to me before bed, despite me almost being asleep. I get that people need different amounts of sleep. He's always needed much less than me and sleeps deeply. So even if I do wake up before him, he's out for the count. Help me, beefy friends. I'm becoming increasingly weary throughout the day, which doesn't help when I have work. And also look after our dog during the day. I'm the main provider of walks. Side note, I'm also learning Dutch. So hearing Tom saying bedankt iedereen doei really warms my cockles. Anon.
Anon, anon.
Wow. It's a good one. Right. I can relate to this. You might imagine, I normally have an extra hour in bed before I need to get up compared to my partner, and she
hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you need to get up for? What are you hiding from us, Clark? What are you doing the day?
Hour by hour.
Is she leaving at 3 in the afternoon then?
Well, you know, I like to get up in the morning to go and have my nap on the sofa.
Exactly, yeah.
Of course.
It's the best
go on. So your partner gets up, Ben.
Very, very, very loud generally. Leaves the doors open. She like has a shower and then comes in and chats to me, and it's too much, man. It's too much.
I'm sorry it's touched such a nerve with you, Clarky. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
What is your sleeping arrangement? Do you have any of the kind of typical city dweller accoutrement? Like, do you have like an eye mask? Do you wear earplugs? Do you sleep with white noise? If not, why not employ all of these things?
I can't hear my white noise app. I can't see to turn it on. I do have a white noise app actually, but it is not loud enough to drown out.
Could you attach it to a big set of Beats by Dre? Just stick them on the side of your head. Because that's what I would say. I would say, could you not, like, this is my advice to Anon. Surely just get a load of kit around you that sort of means that everything's blocked out. You know, the big earplugs that mould with the inside of your ears, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I feel like, no, Parry, you're pulling a face to say you're living in a dream.
I'm a very natural sleeper. I
know, we just saw it.
I fell asleep mid-sentence. I find like accoutrements and, you know, gadgets and things. I can't really respond well with them. I don't like to sleep with things on or attached to me.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
You're telling us to sleep in the nude is what you're saying, I think.
I've got like it's like if I ever go into a coma, just I don't want any of that shit on me, do you know what I mean? Just tell them I don't want any of that. Nothing attached or anything
No drip to keep feeding you or anything like that.
Just let me kip, man. I'll be happy. Trust that I'll wake up.
It'd be so funny if, like, you come out of, like, a 10-year coma and you're like, oh, who woke me up?
Who attached all this kit to me? Who turned that white noise on? Really woke me up. Ken, any advice for our friend Anon here?
Well, it hasn't been made clear whether she has told him not to do this. It seems
that
like
is very true.
It seems like she's just letting it happen, and she has told him stop talking to me, and he's not, then you've got a bigger problem.
Yeah,
that's true actually, because she starts by saying I'm worried my partner will overhear this, whereas actually your partner might need to hear this.
Yes. I think if you don't like something your partner's doing, you should tell them. That's probably a good. Marriage counselor.
Or send it to beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, we don't have a podcast. So we're happy for us to be your first port of call. But yes. Our advice might well be, as Ken says, maybe have a conversation with the person who's actually involved.
Is there something in the kind of does she Ferris Bueller and have
yes!
kind of like
yes!
an artificial like an arm on a pulley and like a balloon that kind of moves around while she's kind of deep under the covers.
Who's pulling? Who's activating the pulley?
A tape player that. It's the door going, isn't it? That okay. sets it all off.
Yeah,
so you're saying like sound should, activated.
Yeah,
she should wake up 3 hours earlier, set up the doll and the pulley, get out of bed, sleep in another room, and then he's just talking to this doll unawares.
Yeah. She's in a travel lodge down the road.
Yeah, get a travel lodge. That's the answer.
It's always good advice.
Swap yourself out with a mannequin and get a travel lodge.
This episode, by the way, is sponsored by Travelodge. Better place to stay. I mean, yeah, I think the some level of decoy is a good idea. Or could you get him into an early morning breakfast show? Like, could you be like, oh, you've got to listen to Chris Evans in the morning. He's brilliant, you know? And
but then she's got to listen to Chris Evans in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not going to stick it on headphones, is he? He's not going to just do it on his phone.
He has no respect, this man.
Or buy him a nice pair of earphones.
Yeah.
Wireless earphones.
Like a muzzle.
Yeah. Yeah,
buy him a Bane-style muzzle. Yeah. Buy him a nice pair of handcuffs. Handcuff him to the bed and he never has to get up for work. Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Get him fired?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Hasn't he just got like his dream job? Wasn't that the expression she used?
Makes more money.
He's making money. He's got better hours.
Yeah, but we're solving her beef, aren't we?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But then surely, well, what about just accentuate the positive? He's bringing more money into the household. You have got more time during the day to walk the dog and wank yourself into a stupor.
It's the dream.
I knew that would appeal to you, Clarky.
Clarky's just waiting for that dog, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just waiting for that dog. He's got everything else. Okay, I've got a slightly more practical solution to trial.
Okay.
Well, then making a robot of yourself that talks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez.
I want to hear this.
Okay, so he wants to talk to me. He thinks this is sweet.
Right, so I propose for about 2 weeks you commit to getting up with him at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
boo.
You engage him in some really fucking deep, dark chat.
Yes.
So he goes like, morning, dear, how are you? And she's like, we're all going to die. And it's like, we're all going to die. And I'm going to die. And my death is inevitable. And so is yours. And let's talk about that. And he's like, off to my dream job now, honey. And it's like, let's talk about the amount of cancer in my side of the family, you know, because it is inevitable. You know, there is a lot. And it's like, oh, okay. And he's cleaning his teeth. And I reckon after about 4 mornings, he's slipping out of bed. He's slipping his clothes on. And he's
leaving forever.
You don't have to be dark, you know, throughout the entire day. You can just be like, oh, I'm just not a morning person. I'm a heavy morning person. And not even really, you know, I'm just a heavy morning person pre 7:30 a.m., which I think is a perfectly reasonable time to be quite heavy. Yeah, just that's great.
That's good.
Because you know what?
Just like fully engaging with all the big shit.
If you wake up in the night, that is the time for your brain to go like, whirring, all the anxious thoughts, all the little worries and stuff. Just bring that anxiety to the fore when he wakes you up. It's going to be buried only very marginally below the surface. Bring it out. Let it pour out of you like a
Between
demon.
Between 6 and 7, I mostly like to talk about my ex-lovers before we were together.
I know you do, Tom, but let's try and focus on the beef, if that's okay.
You know, and then a sidebar of that is you could also try just speaking in Dutch.
Yeah, you could try some of the old badankadoo-kadee.
It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I make it look easy. But you could. Unless he's Dutch, unless he's the reason you're learning Dutch. But I don't think it is.
Also, you can fire up the Dutch oven as well, just to really put the cherry on the cake. I'll send him out.
So I think there's two more practical ideas.
It's good.
I think
it's good.
If you can't build the robot.
Yeah, if you can't build the robot and you find it tricky to sleep with earplugs in, then just talk about your cancer. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved!
Walking Wives Beef from Nick and John. And this is from the audience at the last Flatshare Slam Down.
Right.
So
this might be brief. There might be big questions to be asked.
Yeah, it's brief, but it's punchy.
Let's do it.
Both my cousin and I have an identical beef with our respective wives. They both like to go for a walk as something to do to pass the time. Why? We have everything we need at home. That's the end of the beef.
That's it. You know what? You're absolutely right. It was short and punchy. The problem that Nick and John have is that they don't like to walk without purpose.
Yes.
Well, I think, I mean, this feels fairly easy to solve.
I'd say so.
Should we
all say it after three? 1, 2, 3.
Walk.
Segways.
Right. So I was. Yeah. Segways is not. Segways is good, actually.
Yes.
A very slow segue.
So will they be.
A very slow segue alongside your partner.
Mm.
One of two things will happen. Either that will solve it and you don't have to walk and they can, or they'll just stop asking you to come on the walk.
Yeah.
More likely the second one.
Also, I can't ever imagine being bored on a segue. You know, like if you find that the journey boring, but a segue, it's got to be. It's always got to be fun, right?
I've never been
Ken,
on a Segway.
Two questions for you. Yes. Yep. Have you ever segwayed?
No, sir.
Never, never.
And how do you feel about a nice walk?
I probably identify a bit with the Nick and John here in that my girlfriend prefers walks to me, but I would never.
Wait, she prefers walking to you, me, or yeah, she prefers walking to how much you prefer walking.
She prefers walking to how much I prefer walking.
Okay,
but
fair
maybe,
enough. Right, right. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me? You trying to say she's left you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, she's just following
she's
her.
She's just gone on a 10-week war. I expect her back soon. she prefers walking than I do, but I don't think I ever... I'm not against walking enough to really be like, I need to solve this problem.
What is it about the walk you don't enjoy?
I probably have a similar idea that I do like purpose. I do like going places with purpose, but I don't know, actually.
Can you not? Because my thought would be that, you know, if someone wants to go for a walk, you could say, oh, we could walk past that thing I wanted to see, or that shop I wanted to go to.
The pub.
The pub, exactly. True. We could walk to the pub, go for a quick drink, and walk back. No one's going to begrudge you that on a walk. Yeah. Breaking up a walk with a pub trip.
I think it feels quite idyllic is that you've got, you're coming here as two couples, right? And I know it sounds to me fantastic. I'd love this to go, let's go for a walk, the four of us.
Yeah.
I've picked the route, and there's a loop. So it's like it's a mile loop. The girls like to go for a nice long walk. At the hour mark, the first mile point, there's a really nice pub.
Yes.
You girls carry on, do your walk. They get to have a bit of a chat about the state of their marriage. We get to have a chat about the state of our marriage.
And then divorce. Divorce happens.
You could almost tag out the pairings if you wanted to mix it up.
Oh, hold on.
We're talking about swinging. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, one stays and has a pint with the other person. The guy and the woman go for a walk. Then they come back. The two women are on the next slip. The two guys are on. I don't know. It feels quite interesting to me. But like, chiefly, if the two women enjoy walking and they know each other, and you and the other guy don't like walking, you know each other, you've got a perfect walk-in, pub-in scenario. Or change that for a cinema or an art class. I don't know.
I think it's really good, actually. You set up a little rambling club for people who aren't that into rambling.
Perfect title.
Go on.
Ramblers Anonymous.
Oh,
love it.
Good.
Good.
It's really good.
There must already be a Rambling Anonymous.
Ramblers Anonymous is really good.
There must be. So if there isn't, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is Nick and John are going to start it. Set it up.
They should.
Because also as well, you know, for some people it's just, you know, no destination, just discovering what's in front of you. For some people it is mapping out a route. And I bet you either Nick or John will have a bit of fun, you know, looking at Google Maps. Trying to map out a nice little route for you through the village. I think you could have... I think it's a perfect solution.
Yeah, definitely. It makes... You've got a purpose now.
Mm.
And if you don't like the first pub, you can go to another one. Well, that's a pub crawl, isn't it?
That's also great.
Clarky's big suggestion, if you don't like the first pub, you can go to another one.
You know what?
It's a motto for life.
It's a good suggestion, because how often do you find yourself in a pub, you go, I don't really like this pub? All the time.
All the time.
Especially when I'm with Clarky.
Yeah, that's why you're always leaving, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go to the pub, two pubs. No need to follow me. You don't like walking.
Not another pub that stinks of piss.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So, Ken, obviously we've solved a lot of beefs today for our listeners, but do you have a beef? I mean, we've talked about the cleanliness in your house. Do you have another non-cleanly related beef that you'd like us to solve with your flatmates, with your landlord, with your neighbours, with your pets, if you have them? Do you have one you want us to solve?
I have quite a very specific beef I have with my estate agent, actually. Does that count?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's very minor, but it is... It's in the level of minor where I can't really do anything about it, is that I'm due to renew my contract at the end of this month, and I don't want to do it any earlier than I have to. But my estate agent is sending me an email that says the same email every day at 12:11 a.m. 11 past midnight a.m. saying, reminder, please DocuSign this document. I get it every single day. Every single day, reminder, please DocuSign this document for my flat.
I think you have to fight Doc with Doc. And you have to, at 12:10 every morning, get an auto, like just get a scheduled auto send and just send him a variety of different docs for him to sign. Yeah. I feel like this is what you need to do. Sign him up to mailing lists, you know, order him some medical equipment off the internet, just whatever. Just get him signing, and he'll realize that actually he's got to leave you be. Do you think he's not staying up till 12:11?
I don't think so, but they aren't exactly the same time. So maybe one was at 12 a.m. and one was at 12:10 a.m. But maybe it just has a slight discrepancy. I don't know what's weirder, that it has or he's manually doing it and he can get it about exactly right.
I think as well, 3 minutes. In that instance, what you're doing is you're sort of stopping it from meaning anything.
Yeah.
If someone sends you one document and then sends you a message like 5 days later, go, hey, did you get this? You go, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah. But if you send you the same document every day, you go, well, if you've got multiple copies of this document, I know it's digital, but if you've got multiple copies of this document to send, it means nothing to you.
I've had
it's eight times.
It's happened over the last 8 days, every day.
Wow. It's the law of diminishing returns on this doc.
Have you signed it?
No, I don't want to sign it until I have to.
When have you got to sign it? What's the date?
End of this month, I think, because the contract ends in September.
Have you considered talking to this person?
No, because it's so... Definitely not.
No, the last thing you want to do is call up an estate agent and have to speak to them personally.
Can you sign it like a letter at a time? Just gradually drip feed it through to him.
The K.
I like that, yeah. I really like that, actually. Yeah, so the first... day you just send back, that's it. Just do it incrementally.
One letter at a time. Yeah.
The next day, 2 letters. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got time to do it.
Yeah, I have 15 days, I think. 16-17 days.
And just so, like, send him a reply.
Isn't the flaw in this plan though? If you just sign it, if you send it back with a K, they'll just assume that's your signature and you're off.
But you're in bold underneath. You're also putting, like, where it says name, you're just putting K. Is he going to think that?
Yeah, great.
And also send a note saying, really sorry, I haven't been able to fully complete it. I'm swamped at the moment.
I'll get it to you tomorrow. Yeah, yeah.
Join us tomorrow at 12:30 a.m. for letter two. I like that. I think that's good. I think that's beef solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beef from the sorting out your beef solved.
Ken, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure having you on. Obviously, we know you've got your contract up at the end of the month. Anything else exciting happening in your future? Are you doing Edinburgh? Where can people find you? Where can people come and see you?
No, I'm not doing Edinburgh. Actually, I've sworn off it. But
I mean, if you want to handle sort of, you know, aggressive landlords, you know, if you want to sort of swerve aggressive landlords, I think Edinburgh is the place to avoid.
I was looking into going up to visit, and it was so much money to even visit for 3 days that I was like, it's cheaper to do a show than visit. I should have just done a show if I want to visit.
That's true. It's bad, isn't it? Yeah. But you're gigging here and there. You're on social media.
I can plug my third Radio 4 series has just come out
in
the last couple weeks.
Beautiful.
It's now on BBC Sounds. It's Ken Chang, Chinese comedian.
Wonderful.
I was listening to it just the other day in my car and really laughing. Yeah.
That's nice.
It was really nice when Matthew said you were the guest, because I was like, bloody hell, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah. So I can confirm that it's definitely worth a listen.
That's nice. Thank you.
don't just take Ken's word for it.
Yeah.
Harry's on board too. Find that at BBC Sounds. We'll stick a link to that in the show notes for the show. Well, have a wonderful summer. Tell us how it goes with your one letter at a time trolling with your estate agent.
I will.
But can you let us know one letter at a time?
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Wallop! Absolutely smashed those beefs right out of the park.
And can I say, crucially, an oi-oi-free episode.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We were, you know what? There was not a single oi oi there from Parry, which is good. You know, unless of
course.
Well,
I too was living under the axe of oi oi. You know, I feel like it's spurred me on as well.
Nothing more tragic than the man who has to oi oi himself, and we've all had to do it. Every now and then, you've got to take yourself away for a second, have a quick oi oi, and back into the group.
Get yourself back into the game. Speaking of being back in the groove, let's talk about the Patreon. Yeah. It's a really groovy little club.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom. Oi, oi! Tom, you're not going to believe it. Actually, we've now got zero Patreons. After that message, we're down to zero Patreons now. That's a shame because we had over 800 earlier on. So that's a...
Oh, well, look, come along and join the 800. We put out a bonus podcast every Thursday for people who join the pod, join the Patreon. And there's a lovely community. People all write in. Everyone chats away. There's loads of other perks to being a patron as well.
You'll also get a bonus beef as well from ourselves and Ken Cheng. So an extra beef that we didn't solve on the show. And the beef that we solved on the bonus beef is genuinely crazy. It's real. Yes. It's really
it's
odd.
Real, yeah.
It's a mystery that I you know, sure, we do our best, but it's a case that remains. It's not an open and shut closed beef case. This is a beef case that remains wide open, but you're going to want to hear that. So patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare for just £4 a month. You could get all those bonus beefs, all the bonus episodes, loads of extra audio. You also get advanced tickets to lots of our shows. For example, we're going to be at the Cheerful Earful Festival on October the 9th in Balham. So our guests are the Birthday Girls. So come along to that. That should be really fun. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Cheerful Earful in Balham, a fantastic festival. And again, last time I checked, we were in the lead. So we've sold more tickets. Right. So the way it works is the Birthday Girls are doing our show, Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down. Then we're doing the Birthday Girls house party. And for some reason, the promoters have sort of pitted us against each other head to head. But we're currently in the lead. So let's keep that lead going, guys. Buy tickets. Buy early. Buy often. Get your tickets.
But just buy for ours.
Just buy for ours, yeah, yeah. You'll be able to pick up theirs on the day.
Yeah, that's it. Do it on the door.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So grab tickets for that. Any other business at this late juncture?
None.
No.
Well, in which case, oi oi.
Oi oi there.
Today's episode was produced by the Tinkler of the Ivories himself, Producer Gwyn.
What do we say here?
Yeah, I wondered.
Team? Davies team?
Gwyn. Can we have a little tinkle on the ivories from you, Gwyn, in post?
Yeah, just stick us in a little bit of honky-tonk piano in there.
Can you come under the back of that like Jules Holland?
Just a bit of boogie-woogie. Bit of boogie-woogie. Oh, that's odd.
In fact, this really whole play. Outro... This whole outro bit, you should be just boogie-woogieing away on the piano, like Jules Holland.
Absolutely right. Great. Fantastic stuff.
Cheers, everyone!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.